People were drawn to this retreat where they could heal from past trauma and find sexual freedom and hydration for the soul. But some say its charismatic leader forced them to service clients against their will and provide work for free. Some call it a sex cult. This is the story of One Taste, the San Francisco meditation center that gave women 15-minute orgasms, whether they liked it or not. Hi, friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. When One Taste first started getting press, it was a sex commune. It felt like a distinctly San Francisco sort of thing, the way it aimed to push boundaries while combining sexuality and wellness and spirituality. A core group of 38 people lived in a loft in Soma at 7th and Folsom Streets, cooking together and doing yoga together and meditating together. And, oh yeah, giving the women amongst them 15-minute orgasms. But we'll come back to that. The San Francisco Chronicle introduced the city to the One Taste Urban Retreat Center in 2005, 10 months after it opened, saying that their naked yoga classes were a chance to challenge yourself to have not a sexual experience, but a heart-opening one, while not wearing any clothes. The Community Center, as the article called it, was founded by Nicole Dadon, who had also started the 111 Mini Gallery and Event Space, and a business manager who seemed to be the money guy. On the day the newspaper was there, the instructor told the class, "There's a misconception that our pelvis, our pelvic organs, are the hardest place to breathe into, but often it's the heart that is the hardest to open." By 2009, the New York Times was writing about 41-year-old Dadon as the leader of the slow sex movement, which put a focus on women's pleasure as a way of unlocking freedom. They said that at 7 a.m., the group of men and women who lived at the community center would enter a room with velvet curtains. The women would lie down in a nest of pillows, naked from the waist down, and the men would stroke their lady parts rhythmically for exactly 15 minutes. They said it was an ancient technique to heighten sexual awareness. The couples were called research partners, and the ritual they were performing was known as orgasmic meditation, or OM.
I imagine a world where we aren't chasing illness or chasing trauma or chasing depression with even mildly effective means of dealing with them. But I imagine a world where you have something like OM enter as the way that we begin to work with trauma or depression or the feeling of being separate. And suddenly, you have people healing through something that makes their bodies feel good, that makes them more connected human beings, that begins to have a cascading effect of positive results.
It was the free love of the 60s that San Francisco was known for, although now that love was almost exclusively women-centric. There was no switching positions for these research partners. It was all about the women. There was nothing romantic about it, and they weren't even allowed to make eye contact. But the men said they got something out of it, too, and I don't just mean freely touching 20-year-olds. One man said that fixating on that most important spot on a woman's body improved his concentration at his Silicon Valley tech job. People used words like satiation and phrases like hydration of the self to describe the satisfaction they got from being the stroker and the strokee. And of course, with all of this fulfillment being offered, people were willing to pay good money to be part of it. The Times said the women who lived at the retreat or came for her workshops thought of Nicole Dadon as a sex diva, a leader who opened up their connections to their femininity and improved their self-image. People who loved what she stood for thought of her only as charming. Others, outsiders, though, would sometimes see her as a manipulator, a cult leader. Her background was studying Buddhism, which she took up after her life supposedly fell apart when she was 27. That was the year she says she found out her dad was dying from cancer in prison after being convicted of doing sexual things with two girls. Not sure if I'm allowed to use the word on YouTube. It's unclear if this story is true, but she says he never did anything to her and that she now understands the distance between them was him protecting her from himself. Still, hearing the news of his cancer made her world crumble, and it was only thanks to a Buddhist monk that she came back to life. He took her into a room at a party and gave her the finger bang of the century, calling it meditation. Recognizing the potential, she took this idea of the slow, deliberate orgasm and named her company One Taste after a quote attributed to the Buddha. Just as the great ocean has one taste, the taste of salt, so also this teaching and discipline has one taste, the taste of liberation. Everyone knows that one of the best ways to start a religion is to steal from other religions, after all. But instead of living ethically and avoiding harm like a good Buddhist, Daedeon started her cult. I'm sort of kidding here. I don't really know if she intended it to be a cult at the beginning. In 2009, she said she had recently moved out of the big warehouse loft where everyone lived together because people were starting to treat her like a guru, gathering at her bedside. She said she had recognized the high potential for the group to become a cult because they were so close. But I also wonder if she just wanted to move out of the cramped living quarters and crash at her wealthy tech boyfriend's house. The commune had expanded to New York City by this time, and Daedeon gained a whole new following in 2011 when she gave a TEDx talk on orgasm as the cure for hunger to help sell her new book. She said 3,000 people had taken her classes at this point. Teaching centers opened in London, LA, Atlanta, Chicago, and more. Alternative medicine author Deepak Chopra had Daedeon on his podcast in 2012. She gave a speech at the South by Southwest Festival in 2013. Salon.com called orgasmic meditation the latest New Age craze in 2014, but they did mention that some people on sites like Yelp were saying One Taste was a for-profit cult-like system masquerading as New Age spirituality. The intro class at One Taste was $199. To become a master of stroking, you had to pay upwards of $7,500, and coaches were paying $12,000 or more for the opportunity to lead classes. Some people got their classes for free, though. Volunteers worked events to be able to get access to classes later. Daedeon said, "If you didn't have any money, I wanted it to be that you could take the class, that anything was available." Khloe Kardashian recommended Daedeon's book on her website in 2017. Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop brand had Daedeon on their podcast in 2018. It just kept growing. Of course, there were some problems along the way, but supporters said that's just what happens in an environment that taps into people's deepest emotions. It could be triggering, and those who couldn't handle it sometimes took their anger or frustration out on One Taste leadership. But other people felt that the company aimed to and succeeded at taking over every aspect of their lives, like a cult. One couple spent over $150,000 in courses, growing closer to Daedeon in the process, living and working with this one group of people who became their friends and family, knowing that it would be hard to remove themselves later if they wanted to. When they got married, it wasn't in front of their actual family, but in the living room of a San Francisco rental. They wore casual clothes, and other One Taste employees they had only met that year were their witnesses. They said they didn't want to do it that way, but they felt compelled to. And it turns out that in 2018, there were 16 other people who were willing to talk to Bloomberg about how they sort of felt the same way about a lot of what went on at One Taste. Some said it was like a prostitution ring that targeted people seeking healing from trauma. The company demanded devotion in the form of free or cheap labor. It used psychological manipulation to prey on weakness. It told people who were working 80 or 100 hours a week to only log 30 because they were supposed to be part-time. In 2015, it paid $325,000 out of court with a former employee who said she was ordered to sleep with certain people and was paid less than minimum wage. And it turns out the government was watching. In June 2023, Nicole Daedeon and her former head of sales, Rachel Churwitz, were indicted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for forced labor conspiracy. The government said the two subjected One Taste members, volunteers, and employees to economic, sexual, emotional, and psychological abuse, surveillance, indoctrination, and intimidation. They used empowerment and wellness as a weapon to gain control over people's lives, making them perform sexual acts as a path to enlightenment while withholding wages. They moved employees to different locations or changed their employment status or changed the very definition of the jargon the group used without notice as a way to keep them compliant. They publicly humiliated people if they didn't go along with it. They targeted people with past trauma and encouraged people to go into debt to pay for courses. They put their members under constant surveillance in their communal home, cut them off from their friends and families, and demanded total commitment. And then, of course, they said One Taste used that total commitment to manipulate people for their financial benefit. The forced labor conspiracy charge meant the Department of Justice didn't need to prove that the One Taste leaders actually engaged in victimizing people, just that they agreed to try. This all came after a 5-year investigation by Eastern District of New York prosecutors, but it turns out that they hadn't quite done their complete due diligence. See, Netflix put out a documentary called Orgasm, Inc., The Story of One Taste in 2022, produced by Lena Dunham of Girls fame. In it, a woman spoke about the abuse her sister suffered as an employee of One Taste and supposedly read from her sister's handwritten journals from the time she was in the group. So, obviously, the U.S. Attorney's Office wanted to use those journals in their case and question the author about some inconsistencies in them, like why the handwriting varied in some entries. The DOJ says they pressed her on multiple occasions, but she stuck to her story about them being authentic, even though one of the entries mentioned a book from 2019 when the journal was supposedly written in 2015. But as the case against One Taste was finally going to trial, it was revealed that the woman had typed her journal entries after she left One Taste, and then the important parts were hand-copied onto paper later. I'm not sure if that necessarily proves the information in them was false, but the DOJ announced to the court that they wouldn't be using the journals at trial and they wouldn't be calling the woman as a witness. Dadone hired an attorney who has worked for Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, and R. Kelly. She silently chanted during pretrial hearings. At jury selection, she and her followers held prayer beads. Maybe it was real, or maybe it was to give her abusive business more of an air of religious authenticity. At the trial in May 2025, one witness, the so-called in-house IT guy, said that One Taste was a sex cult and that the leaders embraced being called that. He was one of multiple witnesses who testified that Nicole Dadone, now 57, used employees to seduce investors. He said he had to set up a BDSM experience for one investor with a Wizard of Oz theme, where a yellow brick road led to the bed. One witness said it was understood that going to live with a certain investor and providing sadistic sex was part of the job. Although One Taste supposedly focused on female pleasure, women were instructed to do male-oming, which was basically just hand jobs, if high-paying men wanted it. Employees had to have a really good reason to say no. They were also expected to look a certain way, lipstick, heels, and short black skirts for the women, and witnesses said they lost their own identities while being involved with One Taste. In response to one witness, Dadone's lawyer said snidely, "You don't blame Nicole Dadone for your miscarriage too, do you?" If members needed money to pay for courses, they were encouraged to do sex work. One woman said she made $2,000 a month working there, but paid $800 per month for her room and board, and $20,000 more for courses. She found out when she became an employee that One Taste had been tracking how easily they could sell her classes because she was so lonely and wanted a community. When her commitment to the group started to waver, head of sales Rachel brought her into a meeting and called her a virus in front of everyone and told them not to talk to her anymore or the virus would infect them. So they stopped talking to her. She said employees were also encouraged to report on each other if someone was starting to stray from the group. This witness knew that if she left One Taste, it would be a permanent decision and she would lose her community. But the defense pointed out that when she finally did get up the nerve to leave, she told Dadone that she loved her. This witness said, "There can be love and there can be admiration and also a great deal of darkness and abuse. Those things existed concurrently." A witness testified that Rachel Chirwitz, now 44, was upset by the falling sales at the New York office and said it was the fault of two employees who were ruining the vibe with their sexual tension. She sent them off to have sex in the middle of the meeting, even though one of them had a partner who was also in that meeting. That partner emotionally broke down while everyone waited for the pair to return. Witnesses said the staff had to be on call 24/7 with no sick days nor vacation. They had to text if they were going to be away from their phones for any amount of time, even 15 minutes to shower. They had to clean up Dadone's room when she came to visit NYC, which meant handling her used condoms. A witness said their work hours ended close to 1 a.m., even as volunteers, and that although morning yoga wasn't part of their working hours, skipping it was not an option. One witness testified that when she said no to being ohmed at a morning session, she was talked into it. She said, "It didn't feel good. I didn't want to be there. I had said no." But Chrewitz's defense attorney said it can't be called forced labor when they could have left at any time. He argued, "No one locked the door and said you're not leaving until you finish the job. The simple truth is that the exit door was always open." Dadone's attorney asked jurors to put aside how weird or icky they thought the stuff going on at One Taste was and focus on whether a crime had been committed. She said that these grown people had made decisions that they now regret, but that there has to be a certain level of intensity to be able to say you were forced into labor. And many of the members only took classes now and then, joined with their partner, and kept their regular day jobs. The rules were told to everyone up front, and some of the members did have partners outside the group. Sounds pretty casual, right? But multiple witnesses said that One Taste would break up relationships that didn't help the company. Still, none of the witnesses denied that they were happy to be included in the group and didn't feel in danger. More like it just became their whole world and they feared being ostracized. Several used the word brainwashed. But Dadone's attorney said, "If she was calling people names and making them feel bad, let me be clear, being mean is not a crime. And if shutting people out of the group for breaking the rules was a crime, we might as well go out and arrest the high school bullies." And I really understand the defense's case here, but man, some of the things Dadone said are just unforgivable. Prosecutors showed videos of Dadone making fun of victims of sexual violence. She said, "If you want to know, the real way to deflect is to turn on 100%, because then there is nothing to." She told her employees to always be a yes. She said her dad, the one who hurt children, was so fourth dimensional that he couldn't confine himself to the arbitrary laws of the third dimension. She said her dad wasn't a criminal. Her former business partner admitted that leadership pushed people past their limits and gaslit them, but he framed it as, you know, a positive thing. You'll never learn to fly unless you're pushed from the nest, that sort of thing. But the assistant U.S. attorney said no company has the right to direct employees to have sex with one another or with potential clients. It is absolutely not normal to provide sexual services for your boss's partner. It took the jury 12 hours to convict Dadone and Chrewitz of one count each of conspiracy to commit forced labor. They face a maximum of 20 years in prison at sentencing. But Dadone says she'll continue to fight for the liberation of women wherever she is. She sold her shares in the company in 2017 for $12 million and stepped down as CEO. The current owners of One Taste have rebranded it to the Institute of Ohm Foundation. And despite her conviction, Dadone is still a main feature on their website. So how do you feel about this conviction? Do you think One Taste forced people to do things against their will? Or was this just the government being uncomfortable with unconventional ideas? Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.